Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
The Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report for the 23rd day of May, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll explore the article that Daryl Good wrote for the FarmDoc Daily website, the weekly outlook that looks at pricing new crop corn and soybeans. Daryl's of a mind that pricing new crop soybeans now might be a good idea. Corn can wait. And that it might be worthwhile to price more than one crop year on any weather rally this summer. We'll do that along with taking a look at the weather forecast with the guys at Risk Pulse and discussing the agricultural cash grain market with the folks out at the Andersons during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You may find us and listen to us online on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's WILLAG.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. Futures for the day are like this for the day. Nearby contract in the corn pit in the July at 3.25 higher, $3.97 3/4. September at 3.99 3/4, up 3 cents. December at 4.02 3/4, 3 higher. And the May at 4.13 1/4, up 3 cents. And the soy complex, July beans down 15 3/4 at 10.58 1/2. August at 10.57 3/4, 15 3/4 lower. November beans at $10.36 1/4, down 13 1/4. In January, 10.33 1/2, down 14 cents. March at 10.16 1/4, 11 1/4 lower. Bean oil for the day down 12 cents at 31.15. Bean meal on the afternoon finished at $3.87.70, down $5 even. July soft red winter wheat, that's the harvest month, at $4.62, down 5 3/4. The hard red at $5.23 3/4, also down 4 cents for the day. Live cattle futures nearby contract. June at $118 and a nickel, down the $3 limit. August down the $3 limit at $114.45. Feeder cattle on the day. May contract at $146.87 1/2, $1.75 lower. The August at $143.42 1/2, down the $4.50 limit. And lean hogs. June contract $79, down 85 cents. July at $79.17 1/2, $1.07 1/2 lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
Let's take a look at some of the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil for the day at $48.09 is 32 cents lower. Ethanol at $1.61 2/10 cents, up 0.6 cents. The wholesale price of gasoline, a gallon in the June contract at $1.64 4/10 is 0.9 cents higher. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.47 6/10 per gallon, 1 penny 3/10 cents lower. Natural gas off 0.6 cents at $2.05 6/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial average up about 19 points at 17,501. U.S. dollar is down 0.123 at 95.22. And the gold futures for the day at $1,251.20, down $1.50 per troy ounce. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Mostly clear, a low of 57 degrees, according to the National Weather Service, on a south-southeast wind at about 8 miles an hour. Tomorrow, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly sunny. A high of 82, south-southwest, winds at 8 to 14, gusting to 20. And then on Tuesday evening, a 50% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy, a low of 65. South-southwest winds will stay with us at 6 to 9. Wednesday during the day, showers and thunderstorms, 60% likely. Partly sunny otherwise during the afternoon, a high of 83 on a southwest wind, again at 7 to 14. And on Thursday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, and a high of 84. Those showers and thunderstorms stick with us, by the way, all the way, at least the chance of, through Sunday, and we'll have the highs in the mid-80s and the lower 80s and lows in the upper 60s.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet
market report
at
Bates.com. From Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me a little bit about what happened in the marketplace over the past 3 days. I've been gone, and then this day, too.
Well, I was out last week, too, and back in the saddle here, but
I guess we've got nothing to talk about then, right?
Yeah, okay. How was your trip? But it was more of the same. We continue to see the meal lead the rally. There or keep the strength of the beans there last week. Southern Hemisphere, getting more aligned. The big question is the quality of the bean meal coming out of Argentina, particularly. They're having difficulty meeting the 46.5% meal specs for export, and so they're having to discount their meal a little bit. But before we saw the world exporters come to the U.S. to share some meal supplies, and I think, if it's not too bad quality, I think they'll be willing to take the discount involved and try to get a little cheaper, lower quality meal involved. But so we'll continue to watch meal demand. Meal basis has slipped here at the Gulf. Overall basis levels as a whole here is fairly well slipped somewhat, so we could be in a situation where the bean complex could be set up for some type of correction. The meal did make a new high and close lower. Psychological resistance in the July meal's up around $400 a ton, got up around $398.30. So we could be in a position to see some type of correction. Overbought, 3-day weekend coming up in through here, so we could see the market kind of drift here for a while. The July contract in the bean futures had a low of 10.52. Traders seem to be watching this 10.50 area. If we kind of slip below 10.50, they feel there's some sell stops under there. Then we could see it just a little bit more of a correction here as we move into June. This afternoon, bean-wise, we're looking for planting progress to be anywhere from 50 to 55% complete as a nation. We should probably be at that level, but there's some areas really struggling, having a hard time getting the crop in. In fact, we're seeing quite a bit of replant start to develop here. Seems like 2 weeks ago, around that Mother's Day time window in through there, that anything that went in, just having an awful hard time, guys trying to hoe it, trying to get a rain on it, and some's actually being torn up and redone for the second time. So we'll see what the conditions hold here as we kind of move forward in through here. Even though we got in the ground, we'll see how it comes up and see what type of stands we have, Todd.
What do we think the corn number will look like? And I suppose really it's all about Indiana and Ohio and whether those acres will be unplanted or a larger portion of them, and might they be available to switch to soybeans?
Yeah, as a nation, they're looking for 85 to 90% complete. Quite a bit of talk of switching, not only in Indiana, but portions of Illinois, particularly southern Illinois. Varies a lot if there was anything worked in ahead or not. But as a whole, I think the trade's kind of dialed into seeing only anywhere from 500,000 to 1 million acres being switched to beans. The thing is, we still got a little time on that. The weather's fairly cooperative here for a few days, so we'll just have to monitor that as time goes on. But the June acreage report will give us an idea of where we're at, and I think the ideas are we could lose, some corn acres and gain maybe upwards of 2 million, possibly 2.5 million acres, just the fact that a lot of the analysts feel that we just didn't see all the acres in the right place here in this last March 31st estimate.
You think that when we add them all up, we'll have more or less acreage in total?
More. We feel there's more acres out there, unless we just continue to keep the southern part wet and see some prevent plants show up. But Overall, we feel the acres, total acres, were kind of on the light side, and there's still some acres to show up here as we move down the road.
It's a rough start on the livestock side in the cattle portion of the CME group, both live cattle and feeder cattle. In most of the contracts, down their limits, feeder cattle down the expanded limit.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the new promotion of Meatless Mondays or you know what got into it, but I guess we need to promote Cheeseburger Tuesday tomorrow to help the market turn around. But cattle and feed report numbers were not burdensome, but were a little heavier than expected. The thing on the beef complex continues to be that the board is a discount to cash quite a bit through here, so we feel these June fats in this 116 area ought to develop support, feeling that overall demand can sort of hold in there as we move forward. The thing to watch is continue to be the pork complex long-term in through here. Quite a bit of news now that Chinese hog prices jumped over 30% in value here during the month of April, and so their pork demand remains relatively strong, and then return has helped support world pork values. So that's the developing story as we move forward here in the meat complex over the next couple of years.
Okay, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. You can hear him again on our website. The address is willag.org, willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming and some of the updated stories that you'll find in our news segment, which is coming up, and then our feature stories as well, including the one you're just about to hear from Darrell Good, agricultural economist at the University of Illinois. In today's agricultural news, if Monsanto should choose to accept the proposed acquisition presented by Bayer AG, the deal would put 83% of corn seed sales and 70% of the global pesticide market under the control of just three consolidating companies. That would raise fears from the agricultural sector at a time when farmers face heavy pressure after 3 years of sliding crop prices. Combining Monsanto's top position in crop seeds with Bayer's much broader pesticide portfolio would lead to 28% of worldwide pesticide sales, 36% of the U.S. corn seed sale market, and 28% of soybeans, that according to Morgan Stanley estimates. Let's stay with agribusiness for a moment. Through the first half of the fiscal year, John Deere reports sales are down 8%, while earnings are 30% lower. Net income attributable to Deere & Company was $495.4 million for the second quarter, ending the 30th day of April, compared with $690.5 million for the same period last year. For the first 6 months of the year, net income attributable to Deere & Company was $749.8 million, compared to $1.07 billion last year. Company CEO Samuel Allen says the second quarter performance reflects the continuing downturn in the global farm economy. Further, Allen says that while the company expects lower results this year, Deere is continuing to perform at a much higher level than in previous downturns. Well, let's move to Washington, D.C., where the White House Friday announced a new nutritional facts label. At the Partnership for a Healthier America Summit, First Lady Michelle Obama announced the modernized nutrition facts label for packaged foods will reflect the latest science, the most relevant nutrition information, and sport a refreshed design. After reviewing comments received on the proposed rules, consumer studies, and updated nutrition science, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, made several changes to the label. The final label requires added sugars to be declared to help consumers know how much sugar is added to the product during the processing of foods. The label features a revamped format that highlights key information, things like calories and servings per container. It also replaces out-of-date serving sizes to better align with the amount consumers actually eat. Food manufacturers were given 2 years to comply with the new label. Manufacturers with less than $10 million in annual sales will have 3 years to comply. And finally, a new poll released by AgriPulse last Friday finds the recent soybean futures rally will pry on farm inventory loose and encourage farmers to sell their old crop stocks. In the past 2 months, soybean prices have increased $2. 37% of respondents said a price of $10.25 would compel them to sell their 2015 crop, while another 12% said $10.75. Further, 10% said a price of $11 to $11.25 would get them to act, while near 40% of farmers surveyed preferred not to disclose a price. The poll found 45% of the 126 farmers surveyed this month by AgriPulse said they still have a portion of last year's soybean crop to sell. When asked what percent of their 2016 crop had been pre-sold, 48% said 10% or less, while another 43% 10 to 50%. Just 8% admitted pre-selling more than 50% of the crop currently being planted. AgriPulse surveyed the 126 Iowa farmers in conjunction with the Iowa Soybean Association. We'll have more on pre-sales for the 2016 crop with Daryl Good in just a moment. The very low price of corn and soybeans and predictions for even lower prices later in the year has farmers worried. They're wondering, even hopeful, if a summer rally could offer up pricing opportunities. Well, Daryl Good tries to answer this question in the May 23rd Weekly Outlook on the FarmDoc Daily website. There are a couple of factors the online article addresses. The first is pretty simple. Boiled down, Daryl Good says the supply problem in South America is a demand boost for North America, in this case for both corn and soybeans.
Weekly export sales of both crops continue to be larger than needed to reach the USDA's most recent export projection for the year, so it appears that exports may still exceed these higher projections.
The second primary factor creating uncertainty in the commodity markets is planted acreage in the United States. The trade clearly has been concerned about total global soybean production this year and has consequently rallied the price of soybeans in Chicago by $2 a bushel. This rally, along with corn planting delays in the eastern Corn Belt, might be enough to cause a substantial acreage switch from corn to soybeans, thanks Daryl Good. And even if it does happen, and there are fewer prevented plant acres than normal, it is still possible total corn and soybean acreage in the June USDA report could be greater than the projections made in March.
The largest uncertainty in both markets is the likely level of yields here in the U.S. this year. At this stage of the growing season, there is little indication of how the U.S. average yields may deviate from trend values, estimated by USDA at 168 bushels for corn and 47.6 bushels for soybeans. We continue to believe that there is a higher than normal risk of yields falling below trend value due to the history of warmer, drier summers following extremely warm winters like this year in the U.S. That risk may also be elevated by the rapidly fading El Nino event. If this assessment is correct, higher corn and soybean prices would be expected this summer,
providing a better opportunity for pricing 2016 production. Here's how Daryl Good sees this playing out. He says the risk of waiting for a summer price rally before aggressively pricing the 2016 crops is probably larger for soybeans than for corn for several reasons. First, soybean acreage is likely to exceed intentions so that production could still be large even with a modest shortfall in yields. Second, soybean yields may be less vulnerable to stressful summer weather than corn yields. Third, soybean prices have increased more than corn prices in recent weeks and are now at a relatively high level compared to corn prices. Fourth, November 2016 soybean futures are now trading near $10.40. That's above the spring price guarantee of $9.73 for the crop revenue insurance. Fifth, with trend yields, current new crop soybean prices are high enough to generate positive returns to owner-operators, those with crop share rents, and those with modest cash rents. In contrast, corn acreage may be less than intentions, yields are more vulnerable to adverse summer weather, and December 2016 futures are currently trading only modestly above the spring price guarantee of $3.86 for crop revenue insurance. While waiting for a price that offers a positive return has some risk, the risk for corn seems limited over the next several weeks, says Daryl Good.
If a summer price rally does occur, producers will likely want to aggressively price the 2016 crop. In addition, history suggests that a weather market would also result in opportunities for pricing 2017 crops and beyond. A weather market would likely result in smaller price increases for those crops than for either the 2015 or 2016 crops. Still, prices for those deferred crops could move to levels reflecting positive returns for most producers. How aggressive to price multiple crops depends on the magnitude of the price rally, should it occur.
One final note here. Darryl Good, as you may have noticed, thinks pricing out this year's soybean crop on the current rally is likely a good idea. He'd be far more patient with corn. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons. Greg Johnson is on the line from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, are you busy there today, or are people busy planting soybeans and not talking to you?
People are busy planting soybeans, trying to get done ahead of the rain coming in Tuesday night and Wednesday. So we've made a lot of progress over the last 5 or 6 days, and some people can get done in the next 2 days, and others will get a lot closer to being done in the next 2 days.
We just heard Darryl suggest that this was the rally on cash, on the cash side, that soybeans ought to be sold. Probably, we didn't talk really about old crop with him, but I would think he would think both old and new crop. Are you of that mind, despite the 15-cent drop in the marketplace?
Yes, the beans have been up 11 out of the last 12 weeks. You know, this is $1.70 higher than what we were 7 or 12 weeks ago. You know, the price ratio of beans to corn would suggest that we have switched a couple of million acres from corn to beans. The wet weather in the south and the east would also suggest that we have switched a few acres. And the nice thing is, from a bean point of view, we don't get another estimate from the government until June 30th. So maybe the bean market hangs in there between now and then. But once that report comes out, if they do show those extra acres, the bean market could sell off even more. So, yeah, I agree. I think this is a good time to get some bean prices locked in.
And have producers been doing that for new crop?
Yes. Yes, they have. I wouldn't say they're getting super aggressive, but at least they are selling some beans. And the corn, for whatever reason, maybe it's still a little bit below cost of production. Maybe it's the fact that corn's only rallied 30 cents while beans have rallied $1.50. But for whatever reason, we haven't seen much farmers selling in old or new crop corn lately.
Just one other note that Darryl happened to pop into my office while I was writing up the story and on a different time, at a different time frame than when he was interviewed. And he really is of the mind that looking forward for both corn and soybeans, prospects of large world crops continuing mean that any kind of rally might mean a good chance and opportunity to market on not only this year's crop, but next year's. And I'm not sure that he didn't think about some of the crop past that, but let's just do the 2 years out for corn and soybeans. The bigger the rally, he thought, and maybe you can talk a little bit about this, the more likely it is that there might be some sales made.
Yeah, I mean, D16 and D17 corn have just recently gotten over $4, and, you know, that's an okay place to sell corn.
He wants to wait on corn, that's for sure.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. Oh, you're talking soybeans?
Yeah, well, when we get the rallies, if we get them on the weather rallies, he would be able to sell further out.
Well, so, sure, yeah, sure. Yeah. We only spent 3 weeks in calendar year 2015 above $4, so you know, when it's above $4, it seems like it doesn't stay there very long. And with a strong dollar and an incentive for South America and the Ukraine and some of these other countries to grow more bushels, yeah, I think we do need to take advantage of that. We not at these levels, but as Darryl said, probably on a rally this summer if we get a weather scare.
Thanks
so much. Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
It's National Taffy Day. Taffy has been part of American life since the late 1800s and has been a beachside tradition since it appeared in Atlantic City more than 100 years ago. Joseph Freilinger is credited with making saltwater taffy popular. Freilinger observed sunbathers and boardwalk visitors and came up with the idea to sell saltwater taffy. Milwaukee figure tourists would want a reminder or souvenir of their vacation to Atlantic City. As an experiment, Freilinger boxed the candy and sold it one weekend. It was an overnight success. On this day in agricultural history in 1820, James Eads was born. An American engineer, he was responsible for building the two-tier triple-arch steel bridge over the Mississippi River at St. Louis. The bridge was the first in the U.S. to use cantilever construction, and it opened on July 4th of 1874. He also created a year-round navigation channel for New Orleans. And in 1954, Keith Campbell was born. Campbell was a key member of the science team that produced the first mammal clone, a lamb called Dolly. Dolly lived 6 years and produced 6 lambs. While most sheep are generally shy around humans and huddle at the back of their pens when visitors come, Dolly loved attention. She would often rush to the front of her stall when she saw people coming by, bleating loudly. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, for 100 years offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
On this Monday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're now joined by Mark Russo. He's in Chicago at Wrist Pulse to take a look at the weather forecast. Mark, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Todd.
Tell me just a little bit about what you see in the way of the forecast, especially as it relates to rain for my part of the world and for the bulk of the Midwest.
Well, for the precip outlook here in the Corn Belt, the areas on the wet side over the past few weeks, which were centered, during the next few weeks are going to be centered a bit more west, so in areas of the western Midwest and on into the plains, that's where the focus of rainfall will be. The dry zone here will be coming up over more so the southeastern U.S. and parts of the eastern Midwest, and even some areas towards the northern Delta as well. And so really, from a summer crop planting standpoint, the dry weather in the eastern Corn Belt certainly beneficial for planting, while the wetter weather in the western belt, not an issue as planting wraps up. And really, that's what's needed. Now you need the wetter areas in the east to turn drier, and you need the drier areas drier weather areas in the west need a little bit more rain. So and that's going to be coming up here. So from a precip outlook standpoint, overall very beneficial. And on top of that, the temperatures, which we have a fundamentally different pattern here upcoming from a temperature standpoint. Obviously, May has been biased on the cool side, and that has certainly changed in a big way with warmer temperatures this past weekend, and this is the start of an extended stretch of above normal readings that will prevail across the vast majority of the central and eastern U.S. So with this warm pattern, that's going to accelerate growth of summer crops, which have been slowed recently by this May's cool weather, and obviously this is quite beneficial and needed as we move through late May and into early June.
Growing degree days will catch up quickly. However, we'd prefer not to have the hot weather or the above temperatures stick with us when we get to that point. Is this a change fundamentally, you said, something that's going to stick around for a while?
Well, from the warmer bias pattern looks to stick around for the time being. Now through the first 5-6 days of June, we do not see anything that extreme here in the Midwest. Coming up over the late this week, over the upcoming weekend, we'll likely touch 90 for a day or two in areas of Illinois, even as far north as central Illinois, but not going to have any legs to it here. But overall, just expect generally more 80s around for high temperatures, and upper 50s and 60s around for minimum temperatures.
Thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo, of course. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. Don't forget, you can always listen to us anytime you'd like on our website. The address is WILLAG.org.